Welcome to Pardes Daily, where you get your daily dose of Torah with Pardes faculty. This week, Pardes is bringing Tu Bishvat to you. Let's dive in.
This is me, Shamar Kasoy, coming to you from Pardes in Jerusalem. And in honor of Tu Bishvat, I'd like to spend the week with you each day learning a little bit about the mitzvah of Bal Tashchit. The mitzvah of Bal Tashchit becomes a paradigm for our thinking about the environment and our relationship to the trees. The words Bal Tashchit mean do not destroy, and it's very literally about trees. And then it also expands and contracts to be much more and also much less. And I think that this thinking about the tree as a symbol through the mitzvah Bal Tashchit helps us understand why Tu Bishvat may have loomed so very large in our Jewish memory. I want to start with just to focus today on the two verses in the Torah, Deuteronomy 20, 19 and 20, and see how we can locate those verses in their natural context and then also in their interpretations according to two parshanim. The verses are as follows. I'll read them first in English according to the JPS, although I'll have to quibble with the translation later, and then I'll go on to read them in the Hebrew. When in your war against a city, you have to besiege it a long time in order to capture it. You must not destroy its trees, wielding the axe against them. You may eat of them, but you must not cut them down. Are trees of the field human to withdraw before you into the besieged city? Only trees that you know do not yield food may be destroyed. You may cut them down for constructing siege works against the city that is waging war on you until it has been reduced. Ki tatsur al ir yamim rabim lehilachem aleha l'tofsa. Lo tashchit et etza lindoach alev garzen. Ki mimenu tocha v'oto lo tichrot. Ki ha'adam etza sadeh levo mipanecha v'matsur. Rak etz asher teda ki lo etz ma'achal hu oto tashchit v'charata. Uvanita matsur al ha'ir asher hi osa imcha milchama ad ridata. This mitzvah is located in Parshat Shoftim, which as a whole is really about suspicion for government and the dangers of the state, and specifically the military-industrial complex and all of the dangers that come with that. Tagai, in his JPS commentary on Deuteronomy, helps us locate it in its natural context. This particular parak, 20, is a set of the great oxymoron of war ethics. Most of the laws about war limit the prerogatives of the military by defining who may be sent to war and what may be done to conquered cities and their populations. Harsh as some of them are in light of modern ideals, though not modern practices, says Tagai, they limit wanton destruction of life and property and are the oldest known rules of war regulating the treatment of conquered people and territory. That's about the parak as a whole. And when he comes to the question of trees, he says, it was common practice in ancient warfare to destroy the enemy's fruit trees and fields. This weakened its economic potential and hampered its ability to fight again in the near future. It may also have been intended to pressure besieged cities into surrendering before they suffered such long-term damage. The Torah prohibits and makes an exception for constructing siege works with non-fruit-bearing trees. There's an example of this in an ancient Egyptian inscription describing the siege of Megiddo by Thutmose III, where he relates how his commentators measured the town, surrounded it with a ditch, and walled it up with fresh timber from the city's fruit trees, specifically the fruit trees terrorizing the people. That kind of terror is something that, as Tagai alluded, is something that we have not avoided even to this day. Of course, in ancient times, the Romans were famous for sowing the fields of their conquered enemy with salt. But nowadays, we've dropped the bombs in Hiroshima and Nagasaki, Agent Orange, carpet bombing of World War II in Vietnam and in Cambodia. Environmental destruction is a tool that we've continued to use in this day. And in some ways, you could actually justify it. As as it was in the context of World War II, as the fastest way to end the war with the least human losses. Doesn't it make sense that humans take precedence over everything? And that's what's the most important in the context of life. And if you destroy trees and end the war quickly, it's worth it. So the idea of the law is a little bit confusing to me. And then in addition to that, or surprising to me, the words themselves are a bit difficult to translate. And I want to just focus on the difficult clause that both Ibn Ezra and Rashi focus on. JPS translated it more or less according to Rashi. You may eat of them, but you must not cut them down. Are the trees of the field to withdraw before you into a besieged city? Mimenu tochel v'oto lo tichrot ki ha'adam eitz ha'sadeh laflo mipanecha b'matzor. Rashi says as follows. The word key functions here as perhaps. It introduces a question. Is it possible that a tree of the field is a person who's able to withdraw within the besieged city from before you? That it should be chastised with suffering of famine and thirst like the people of the place? Why are you destroying it? Ki ha'adam eitz ha'sadeh. Hooray! Hare ki mishamesh bilashon dilma. Shema ha'adam eitz ha'sadeh likanes b'toch ha'matzor mipanecha, litraser b'yisorei rav v'etzama, kanshei ha'ir, lama tashchitenu? Says Rashi, he is introducing a rhetorical question, to which the answer is no. Obviously, the tree and the person are worlds apart. People, you're allowed to kill, you're at war with them. But trees, what did they ever do to you? Trees, killing humans is fine because they're guilty, but killing trees, they're innocent. They do not deserve your violence. Ibn Ezra takes a different approach. He says, "Lefi da'ati, she'en lanu tzorech l'kol zeh, v'ze perusho, ki mimenu tochal v'oto lo tichot, ki ha'adam eitz ha'sadeh, v'hatam ki chaye ben adam hu eitz ha'sadeh." That rather than reading ki as a question word, he reads the whole sentence as a nominal sentence. The meaning is as follows. The livelihood of a person is a tree. Person is a tree. And of course, the tree and the human are equivalent. And that's why you can't kill the tree. Because if you kill the tree, it's as if you're killing yourself. The problem with this translation is lavomi panecha b'matzor, which come afterwards. But Ibn Ezra sort of replaces it as a dangling modifier. Ki mimenu tochav lo'oto tichrot lavo mipanecha b'matzor. You may eat of them, but you must not cut them down to make a siege before you, because the person is the tree of the field. We depend on the tree of the field for our livelihood, and therefore you cannot cut it down. Whereas Rashi translates it, you may eat of them, but you must not cut them down. Is the tree of the field human that it should be besieged by you? So radical different understandings of the simple reading of the verse, but it's also a massive difference in terms of the values or the reason for the mitzvah. According to, I would call Ibn Ezra a utilitarian environmentalist, he thinks that the reason why we have to protect the tree is because to protect the tree is to protect the human. Climate change is threatening to destroy all of human life, and therefore we have to do something about it. And trees is the way we can do it. Destroying the tree is doing a disservice to yourself, says Ibn Ezra. Rashi, on the other hand, is what might be called a deep environmentalist. The tree's value is not contingent on its use to human beings. It's existentially valuable. The tree itself is innocent, and you cannot utilize or exploit the tree for human needs. You have to consider the tree as an independent value. As we close, I think we can understand that either way, both according to Rashi and according to Ibn Ezra, the tree is of tremendous value and should not be destroyed. And in modern science, we've seen this to be even more true. Research in the last couple of years has shown that tree planting has actually mind-blowing potential to tackle climate change. If we would plant billions of trees across the world, that would be the biggest and the cheapest way of taking carbon dioxide out of the atmosphere and tackling the climate crisis. Many scientists think that just planting trees is the single best thing that we can do to dissipate the climate crisis. Rashi and Ibn Ezra, each of them lay out two schools of thought which have been adopted in modern times, the deep environmentalist and the utilitarian environmentalist. Are we taking care of the tree because it benefits human beings? Are we taking care of the tree because it is a value in and of itself, as Rashi suggests? And I think that it's going to be beautiful to trace over the course of the week the way these two schools of thought manifest themselves in the Talmud and in the Halakha and make this mitzvah, which is particularly valuable and especially relevant to us in our lives today. So please do stay tuned as we trace both Rashi and Ibn Ezra and their ideologies through the course of the week in the mitzvah of Baal Teshchit. For now, I'd like to end with the third possibility, which is to think about Ibn Ezra is suggesting independence, our dependence on the trees. But I think this verse in modern literature has also gained even more meaning as we consider it as a metaphor. The human is the ki ha'adam etz ha'sadeh. The person is the tree of the field. I'd love to share with you a little piece from the famous poem of Natan Zach, which was sung by Shalom Hanoch, about the greatness of the tree and the interdependence between the human being and the tree. Thank you for listening, and thank you to our partners at Chazon, a Jewish lab for sustainability. To learn more about our partnership and to get support in reducing waste, visit www.pardes.org.il/pardesdaily. Until tomorrow, enjoy this song.
Adam, etz ha'sadeh, kmo ha'adam, gam ha'etz tzomeach, kmo ha'etz, ha'adam nigdal, v'ani lo yodea, eifo hayiti ve'eifo eyeh. כמו עץ השדה כי האדם עץ השדה כמו העץ הוא שואף למעלה כמו האדם הוא נשרף באש ואני לא יודע איפה הייתי ואיפה אהיה כמו עץ השדה אהבתי וגם שנאתי טעמתי מזה ומזה קברו בחלקה של עפר ומר לי בפה כמו עץ השדה כמו עץ השדה כי האדם עץ השדה כמו העץ הוא צמא למים אדם הוא נשאר צמא ואני לא יודע איפה הייתי ואיפה אהיה וגם שנאתי, טענתי מזה ומזה. קברו אותי בחלקה של עפר ומד לי, מד לי בפה כמו עץ השדה, כמו עץ השדה. כי האדם עץ השדה. כי האדם עץ השדה. Yeah.